Hi, thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Natural Health. I'm Ann Mihalik, your volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. For today's program, I have selected two articles from the March 9th to 15th, 2022 issue of the Mind and Body section of the weekly newspaper called the Epoch Times. The first article is the cover article, and it's entitled Immunology 101, a simple explanation of your innate and adaptive immune systems and how that relates to COVID-19 and the vaccine. The second article is entitled The Powerful Heart Benefits of Flaxseed. So let's get started with the first article entitled Immunology 101, a simple explanation of your innate and adaptive immune systems and how that relates to COVID-19 and the vaccine by Ann Corson. Have you ever wondered exactly how your immune system works or how natural immunity differs from vaccine-induced immunity when it comes to SARS-CoV-2, the virus more popularly known as COVID-19? Despite all the complicated terms you may read in the news, it's actually quite simple once you understand the basics and understand the soldiers and engineers in your body fighting to keep you safe. Heading: Immunology 101. The human immune system is incredibly complex. In simplistic terms, it can be divided into two branches, the innate and the cellular or adaptive immune systems. The innate immune system is akin to soldiers acting as sentries guarding the fortress, the first line of defense against foreign invaders. These sentries are constantly on guard at all portals of entry into the fortress of the body, such as the nose, sinuses, mouth, throat, lungs, the whole length of the stomach and intestines, the eyes, and the entire surface of the skin. This frontline defense starts its own fight against enemy invaders and also calls in a powerful second line of defense, the cellular or adaptive immune system. This second line of defense is analogous to a corps of engineers who receive instructions from the sentries for how to make specific weapons called antibodies that are custom made to bind and neutralize each individual foreign invader encountered. It takes time, usually a few weeks, for the engineers to make effective antibodies for each new invader. Once the antibodies bind to and neutralize the foreign invaders, other immune cells called macrophages come along like Pac-Man to gobble up, digest, and destroy the dead enemies and debris from the battlefield. If the immune system sentries see a foreign invader that's the same or similar to one they have seen before, the response is much faster and far more aggressive. If the immune system engineers are told that the same or similar enemy is attacking the fortress, they already have the blueprints to respond more rapidly to produce a much larger quantity of specific weapons or antibodies to aggressively clear the enemy threat. Heading: Natural immunity to SARS-CoV-2. When SARS-CoV-2 viral agents enter the body through the nose or mouth, they land on the mucous membranes of the nose, sinuses, and throat. This is where all respiratory viruses typically land and try to establish a beachhead. Some SARS-CoV-2 viral particles manage to evade the frontline sentries and break into the cells lining the nose and throat. They do this by tricking our cells by binding to, unlocking, and sneaking through specific doors in the cell wall called angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, ACE2 receptors. These receptors are meant for the enzyme ACE2, which does important work in many places throughout the body. So SARS-CoV-2 not only gets in through this door, it also blocks ACE2 from doing its job. Cells can be thought of as little factories, producing all kinds of things the body needs. Once inside cells, these viral agents hijack the cell's machinery and use it to reproduce themselves to such an extent that the cells become completely filled with viruses to the point of bursting open, which releases more viruses, which will go on to infect more cells. This process of invasion can last for up to 5 days before there are enough viruses made to make you feel ill or be contagious to others. Many researchers believe it's only after you develop symptoms of congestion, runny nose, fever, sore throat, or cough that there are enough viral particles in your body to be able to spread to others. During the initial invasion in the nose and throat, the frontline sentries of the innate immune system respond aggressively. Some weapons made by the sentries, known as cytokines, grab onto or bind the viral particles and shout an alert to other soldiers, known as killer T cell lymphocytes, to search out and destroy the cells that are infected with viruses. Infected cells themselves also release distress signaling molecules called type 1 interferons that instruct the killer T cell soldiers to destroy the infected cells. These killer T cell lymphocytes are the most important branch of the body's fighting arsenal against viruses. They are very efficient at killing cells that have been infected by viruses, and they remember how to recognize previously encountered enemies for many years. While killer T cells get a lot of the glory, let's not forget about that adaptive second-line team. Once those frontline sentries sound the alarm, the B cell lymphocytes get to work making antibodies. Antibodies take time to make and are a less important means of controlling initial viral infections in the body. The B cell lymphocyte engineers that are found directly inside the fortress walls all along the lining of our nose, sinuses, mouth, and breathing tubes make antibodies known as secretory IgA antibodies. These secretory IgA antibodies made by B cells neutralize the foreign invading viruses by binding to them. Antibodies that are created as a result of natural infections with respiratory viruses can also be very long-lasting. For example, researchers confirm that those who survived SARS in 2003 and even the 1918 pandemic still have these antibodies in their bodies. Every foreign invader, be it a virus, bacteria, or fungi, has proteins on its surface, like a fingerprint, that make it identifiable to the body as a foreign invader. These proteins are called antigens. An antigen is any of these protein molecules that alert the immune system. The most famous antigen in the world is no doubt the spike protein found on SARS-CoV-2. When one is infected by the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the B cell engineers are instructed to make secretory IgA antibodies to bind to the spike protein and several other antigens of the virus's outer coat or body. Each one of these IgA antibodies is made by a different regiment or clone of B cells. Antibodies incapacitate or neutralize viruses by binding to specific antigens of the virus for which they were designed, forming antigen-antibody complexes. It's a little bit like throwing handcuffs and chains around a foreign enemy. These complexes are then gobbled up and digested by macrophages, the Pac-Man-like immune cells we mentioned earlier. Once the B cell engineers have learned how to make specific IgA antibody weapons against several different parts of the virus, they release their IgA antibodies onto the mucus lining of the nose, sinuses, throat, and breathing tubes in the lungs. These secretory IgA antibodies are always on guard to immediately bind with any of the same or similar viral antigens or parts of the enemy for which they were designed, that may come in at any time with the air we breathe. Foreign invaders that come into the body by routes other than the nose, mouth, and throat result in the production of different kinds of antibodies called IgM, IgG, and circulating IgA antibodies. These antibodies are designed to protect the internal organs of the body from enemies that spread and attack via the bloodstream. Unlike secretory IgA, these other antibodies are unable to reach the lining of the nose, mouth, throat, or breathing tubes and can't in any way protect these parts of the body from attack by respiratory viruses. It's important to note that naturally acquired T-cell and B-cell immunity can last for a long time in the body. The secretory IgA antibodies and the killer T-cells that have been primed by a particular virus will react quickly and efficiently against the same or similar enemy attack. This means that naturally acquired immunity from a SARS-CoV-2 infection offers protection against future variants of SARS-CoV-2 as well as other similar coronaviral infections. Conversely, studies have shown that T-cells from people who had pre-existing immunity to simple cold coronaviruses, but who had never been infected with SARS-CoV-2, are also able to mount immune responses to portions of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Remarkably, it has been shown that people who were infected in 2003 with the SARS virus have competent immune system responses against the SARS-CoV-2 virus. The pre-existing secretory IgA many people gain after being exposed to other coronaviruses, such as the common cold, can attack the SARS-CoV-2 in the nose and throat and stop it right there before any symptoms ever develop. Unfortunately, our immune systems can be overcome by foreign invaders, and some people, especially those with compromised immune systems and coexisting medical problems, don't survive the initial infection with SARS-CoV-2. But those who do survive gain a multi-layered defense that 150 studies have found offers superior protection against reinfection with SARS-CoV-2 variants when compared to the immunity conferred by COVID-19 vaccines. To understand why, we need to look at how the COVID-19 vaccines work. Heading: Immunity from the COVID-19 Vaccine. The COVID-19 vaccines injected into the muscle of the arm contain instructions from either mRNA, Pfizer, Moderna, or DNA, Johnson & Johnson, wrapped up in nanolipid particle balls that direct cells in the body to manufacture a synthetic spike protein similar to, but slightly different from, the spike protein found on the surface of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. After being deposited in the upper arm muscle, nanolipid particles allow the mRNA or DNA to enter cells. The cell's machinery then uses the instructions given by the mRNA or DNA to make multiple copies of the synthetic spike protein. These cells then release the synthetic spike protein into the surrounding body tissues and the bloodstream, initiating both innate sentry and adaptive cellular engineer immune responses. The antibodies made after vaccination are IgG antibodies rather than secretory IgA. Vaccine developers hoped that the antibodies created against the synthetic spike protein, which are made within a few weeks after vaccination, would protect against subsequent infection by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Unfortunately, vaccine-induced IgG antibody protection doesn't seem to prevent one from becoming infected with SARS-CoV-2, and its effects fade within months. One of the key differences between natural immunity and vaccine-induced immunity is the number of antigens the immune system learns to recognize. During natural immunity, the immune system is dealing with the whole virus and learns to recognize different pieces of the virus's body, which scientists call antigens. After receiving the COVID-19 vaccine, the immune system only learns to make antibodies to the spike protein antigen. Vaccine-induced IgG antibodies made in the tissues or bloodstream of the body also can't gain access to the lining of the nose, sinuses, mouth, or breathing tubes. Therefore, vaccine-induced IgG antibodies can only be an effective defense if and when the SARS-CoV-2 virus has broken through the lining of the nose, sinuses, mouth, or breathing tubes and gained access to the bloodstream or organs. This can occur during the cytokine storm phase of illness, which happens days after viral replication has ceased. More concerning is the ability of vaccine-induced IgG antibodies, upon gaining access to inflamed lung tissue, to augment or worsen the existing cytokine storm by calling in killer T-cell soldiers and Pac-Man macrophages that worsen tissue destruction. The contents in the COVID-19 injections don't remain locally in the arm muscle. They spread throughout the rest of the body via the lymph nodes and the bloodstream. Therefore, the synthetic spike protein can be produced in many places throughout the body, where it's seen as a foreign enemy triggering both an innate and cellular immune system response. The free-floating synthetic spike protein, which can be made anywhere in the body, will attach to those specific DORs or ACE2 receptors that exist not only in the nose, sinuses, mouth, and breathing tubes, but also in many different organs and tissues in the body, such as the heart, blood vessels, brain, liver, kidneys, blood vessels, spleen, stomach, intestines, lymph nodes, skin, thymus, bone marrow, and ovaries. Some scientists are concerned about the possibility that our immune systems might recognize cells making the synthetic spike protein as enemies, just like they do with any cells infected with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, resulting in autoimmune disease. Although most people who have received the SARS-CoV-2 injections have experienced only minor transient side effects, others have been more seriously affected. Some researchers have suggested that repeated injections may actually weaken our immune systems, which could result in the reactivation of latent infections and increased risk of cancer. Further analysis of data collected from countries around the world will help us understand more clearly the long-term effects of the SARS-CoV-2 injections. The author, Dr. Ann Corson, obtained her MD degree from the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia in 1982 and is board certified in family medicine and integrative holistic medicine. Her solo practice in Philadelphia is devoted full-time to the treatment of patients suffering from all forms of chronic disease. In 2008, Dr. Corson joined Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, DAFOH, to help raise awareness of China's live forced organ harvesting of innocent prisoners of conscience, primarily Falun Gong practitioners. Since 2016, she has been the editor-in-chief of DAFO's newsletter. You are listening to Natural Health on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Ann Mihalik, your volunteer reader. And the second article I've selected for today's program is called The Powerful Heart Benefits of Flaxseed. Flaxseed is a highly versatile ingredient with noteworthy medicinal qualities, by Anne Louise Gittleman. One of the most effective ways to promote better overall health is by adding heart-healthy omega-3 rich flax to your meals, flax seeds, flax meal, or flax seed oil. The benefits of flaxseed are nothing short of extraordinary. Flaxseeds are a rich source of the essential fatty acid alpha-linolenic acid. Besides having an extremely high omega-3 content, flaxseed is also rich in dietary fiber and lignans. The soluble fiber aids in reducing carbohydrate absorption, stabilizing blood sugar levels, inhibiting cholesterol absorption, and lowering blood cholesterol levels. Lignans, which are concentrated 800 times more in whole flaxseed than in other plants, are recognized for their cancer-fighting benefits, for their antiviral properties, and for helping to alleviate menopause symptoms. Also, a mounting number of scientific studies show that the omega-3 power found in flaxseed may even help improve symptoms of arthritis, multiple sclerosis, lupus, liver disorders, mental function and depression, eczema, psoriasis, acne, and dry skin. And that isn't even a complete list of its health benefits. For now, let's talk about the benefits of flaxseed for heart health. Flaxseed and flaxseed oil have been used to reduce cholesterol. Some studies have proven that alpha-linolenic acid benefits people with heart disease. Early research suggests that flaxseed helps to lower high blood pressure, and when taken daily, it can reduce total cholesterol and less healthy low-density lipoprotein cholesterol levels, while raising healthier high-density lipoprotein cholesterol. Several studies also suggest that high lignin flaxseed reduces the extent of atherosclerosis, a disease in which plaque builds up inside arteries. This plaque is made up of fat, cholesterol, calcium, and other substances found in the bloodstream. Over time, without proper care, plaque hardens and narrows the arteries, which limits the flow of oxygen-rich blood to vital organs and other parts of the body. As you can imagine, atherosclerosis can lead to serious problems, including heart attacks, strokes, or even death. The lignin complex found in flaxseeds may therefore be beneficial in preventing atherosclerosis and reducing risk factors for coronary artery disease and stroke. The benefits of flaxseed oil certainly outweigh any risks. That said, because of flaxseed's medicinal properties, those taking drugs for similar causes should be careful not to overdo it. The Mayo Clinic warns of a few types of interactions. Flaxseed may decrease blood clotting, which could increase the risk of bleeding for people on anticoagulant and antiplatelet drugs, herbs, and supplements. Because flaxseed oil may lower blood pressure, those already taking drugs, herbs, or supplements for blood pressure should be careful not to lower blood pressure too much. Diabetics face a similar issue since flaxseed may lower blood sugar levels. Taking flaxseed with diabetes drugs or herbs or supplements with hypoglycemic potential might lower blood sugar too much, the clinic states. On the other hand, because flaxseed can have an anti-estrogen effect, it may decrease the effects of oral contraceptive drugs and estrogen replacement therapy. And, in general, flaxseed may decrease the absorption of oral drugs. For this reason, the Mayo Clinic advises taking oral drugs and flaxseed an hour or two apart. Heading: Hop on the flax track with these tips. Using a small coffee grinder, blender, or food processor, grind flaxseed to the consistency of finely ground coffee. Although ground flaxseed can be stored for a short time in the refrigerator, you'll get the most nutritional benefit by grinding the seeds as needed. Store whole flaxseed at room temperature for up to a year. Store ground flaxseed in your refrigerator for up to 90 days. Flax spread is a flavorful butter that everyone will love. Smear it on steamed veggies or on anything that you would put butter on. Simply cube grass-fed butter or ghee and toss it into a saucepan over low heat until it lightly melts. Then pour the melted butter into a small storage container. Add 4 ounces of flax oil and stir until blended. Cover the mixture with the container lid and store it in the refrigerator until it solidifies. Delicious and nutritious flaxseed tea helps cleanse toxins from the kidneys and combat intestinal irritations such as colitis or mucous membrane inflammations. Steep 1 teaspoon of flaxseeds in 10 ounces of boiling water for 20 minutes. Strain and enjoy it with your breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Blend 1 part flax oil with 1 part Lakanto maple syrup for a flavorful topping over fruit, yogurt, grass-fed cottage cheese, or Smitty's flax cakes with fresh blueberry syrup. Flax meal can be home toasted in the oven at 250 degrees Fahrenheit. Heating above 300 degrees Fahrenheit damages the oil and changes it into an unhealthy trans form. Spread flax meal on a baking sheet, place in the oven at 225 degrees to 250 degrees Fahrenheit, and bake until crispy about 15 to 20 minutes. Drizzle flax oil over veggies and season to taste. For baking, use flax in place of fat. Substitute 3 tablespoons of ground flaxseed for 1 tablespoon of cooking oil or butter. Note that baked goods will brown more quickly with flax, so either shorten the baking time or lower the oven temperature by 25 degrees Fahrenheit. Use flax instead of eggs. Blend 1 tablespoon ground flax with 3 tablespoons of water and let stand for a couple of minutes, then use it in place of 1 egg. Making flaxseed a regular daily food choice won't only benefit your heart, but it will serve your entire body as well. Even Hippocrates himself used flaxseed as one of his original medicines. So, what's not to love? The author Anne Louise Gittleman holds a master's in nutrition education from Columbia University and is certified as a nutrition specialist by the American College of Nutrition. She also has a doctorate in holistic nutrition and has served as the chief nutritionist of the pediatric clinic at Bellevue Hospital and is the former director of nutrition at the Pritikin Longevity Center in Santa Monica, California. This article was originally published on AnneLouise.com. And it's time now for the answer to last week's trivia question, which was, power outages in the U.S. are mostly caused by what? And the answer is squirrels. Next week's question, what did the crocodile swallow in Peter Pan? And that is all the time we have for today's edition of Natural Health. Remember, if you missed any part of this program or you would like to access other programs, you can access it on demand at sunsounds.org. Click Broadcast Info and Audio, then On Demand Podcasts, and then select Natural Health under the Health category. While you are exploring the website, you might notice other programs that you would be interested in listening to. Thank you for tuning in to Sun Sounds of Arizona. I am Ann Mihalik, your volunteer reader. Be sure to stay tuned for more great programming. Bye for now.